Ramses had to recognize Hattusholis as his equal, a very rare event in Egyptian history since the Egyptians had never really been put in that position before. The treaties survive in two versions, one in an Egyptian record, the other is the Hittite version. Both have been found. They are quite sophisticated. The linguistic, diplomatic language was Akkadian, that is the Semitic language of Mesopotamia, and these treaties were put up with obligations spelled out, respecting the territories, and really quite beyond what you would expect from this early period, for those not familiar. At the same time this treaty was concluded, Hattusholis III was going through was enacting a series of reforms to create a divine kingship or an authoritarian regime where he could impose his control more successfully over the various peoples of Asia Minor. And these included important religious and legal reforms we'll talk about in the next lecture. Well, if the Hittites had achieved such spectacular results, where that a Hittite king could sign a treaty with the Egyptian pharaoh and they called each other my brother, where did the Hittite Empire go wrong? Within a generation of the concluding of that treaty, or maybe a generation and a half, the Hittite Empire collapsed. Archaeologists at the beginning of the 20th century are really quite perplexed by this. It has raised wider issues as to why did the civilizations of the Bronze Age, the great empires that emerge about 1600 BC and last to about 1200 BC, why did they seem to collapse so suddenly? Certainly this collapse can be compared to the collapse of the Western Roman Empire in the 5th century AD. It led to the end of an era, an end of a series of older civilizations, the emergence of new civilizations. It saw the introduction of iron technology. Well, to some extent, the Hittite collapse was not so much a collapse, but as with the Roman Empire, a fragmentation. The old core areas were lost. Hattusholis was burned and sacked and never really reoccupied as a significant city. And this occurred sometime around 1190, 1180 BC. But the city had been destroyed several times in civil wars and had been restored. And Hittite rulers continued to rule in the cities of Syria, at Carchemish, at Hamath, other important centers that had been conquered. And in some ways, the Hittite Empire didn't collapse as so much as fragmented. The old homeland was taken over by new people, but branches of the old Hittite royal family carried on in Syria, carried on in northern Mesopotamia. So in some ways, the analogy is not too dissimilar from Rome and Byzantium. The old Roman Western Empire broke up in the 5th century, but the Byzantine state in the eastern half of the empire continued. And in a sense, that's what happened with the Hittite Empire. In the Hurrian and Canaanite provinces, in the regions conquered by Supulilamis and his descendants, there the institutions existed to carry on the old imperial tradition, and these succeeding states we call the Neo-Hittite kingdoms. On the plateau, however, by 1190 BC, Hittite power had collapsed. In Asia Minor, fragmented. There were new peoples who moved into the vacuum, foremost people from the Balkans known as the Phrygians, to the western fringes, the kingdoms of the west reasserted their independence, and above all, a people who had been giving the Hittites some annoying problems by their buccaneer activities, called in Hittite sources the Ahiyawa. Their descendants were beginning to settle on the western and southern shores. And these Hittite Ahiyawa, in my opinion, are the earliest Greeks, the Akaiwoi, the Achaeans, the name for the Greeks in Homer. And already in the 14th and the 13th century BC, Greeks were settling on the western and southern shores and were to have a profound influence on the direction of the peninsula in succeeding centuries. So let's stop here with a fragmented Asia Minor, Hittite kingdoms to the east, new kingdoms in the center, and a subject of a coming lecture.